Welcome to the Supercoach Coach Podcast. This is the third preseason episode we're doing for 2015. My name's Marcus, and we're back again this week with FB Donkey.
G'day, Marcus. How you going, mate?
Very good, mate. Looking forward to chatting Supercoach again. Preseason's, of course, very exciting time. I feel like I'm changing my team almost hourly, really, at this rate. And that's not a great thing for productivity, but, you know, we've been waiting a long off-season. So, yeah, it's been a pretty fun week. How about you?
Yeah, I went through someone's team with them today, and I think they made 10 changes while I was doing it. So it's nice to have unlimited trades at this time of the year, and you can just mess around with a few different things.
And I think we're only 2 weeks off now, Mark, from the first game of preseason. Yeah, so in not too long, we'll be getting some form lines and all that and seeing how big the players have gotten over the preseason or how much their skills have improved. So
it's the rookies. That's going to be the exciting bit, actually, knowing what rookies might be getting games.
We'll probably leave rookies either for the second last or the last show, as we traditionally do, just because you need more time to find out about them in terms of job security primarily. So we've got a few questions about rookies from social media. So sorry to you guys, we won't get to them this week. But before preseason ends, we promise we'll give you our qualified opinion.
At the moment, rookies that are in your Supercoach team are just placeholders. You're really not sure who you're going to pick yet until we actually see some of them line up in the NAB and look at who might be making their teams around one side.
Maybe the only thing to think about structurally is if you want to spend a little bit more on some of the more expensive rookies, then you have to allocate just a little bit extra there.
And there doesn't seem to be a lot of backline rookies at this stage, mate, so I wouldn't be budgeting on having too many of them.
So what are we talking about this week, Mark? We're going to look at the social media questions that we got from Twitter, so thank you to you guys. Follow-up questions from last week's show, as well as some general Supercoach strategy questions as well. And then to finish, Mark, we'll be looking at the bargain buys for the season. So guys who had either injury interrupted year or didn't play at all.
So we finished last week's show talking about mid-price defenders, and now we're doing most of our show on mid-prices. So throw that guns and rookies out the window. Just pick all mid-prices. No, that's silly. You might only pick one or two.
It's tantalizing to look at the mid-prices, I suppose. So yeah, we will run through them, including players like Daniel Rich, who are returning from injury. So should be an exciting show, Mark. Just before we head into the social media questions, let's just plug our social media profiles. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/supercoachcoach and on Twitter at supercoachcoach. And remember, engage with us on our forums at supercoachcoach.com.au. Remember as well that on our podcast page, we'll have league codes for open leagues, our Supercoach group invitation, Supercoach Coach veterans applications, the group that came second last year.
Got a few good applications for that, man.
Mm-hmm. And also this week, we'll be opening up ranked leagues. So there'll be
exciting.
Yeah, a form for you to enter your rankings from the last couple of years. We'll sort you guys out and then organize you guys into ranked leagues. And normally our top two leagues tend to be fairly competitive and do help represent the site in the top 20 leagues. So yeah, definitely get into that.
We do get a lot of messages about people wanting to enter some competitive leagues, and that's how you do it.
So we'll head on into the social media questions, Mark. So start off with follow-up questions from last week, and the first is from Jester5 on Twitter. Should we be midfield premium loading given the uncertainty of defensive premiums this year?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, which we sort of did touch on briefly last week. And if there's not any defensive rookies, that might influence what we have to do. We might have to put a bit more money into defense. But yeah, I think that you should. I think this year, be interesting to see the midfield rookies as well and how many of them are going to stand up and how many are going to be sort of must picks. But I think you'd want to be looking at least 4 midfield premiums this year. A lot of teams would be probably having 5. I think I maybe started with 2 last year or something.
Last week, Mark, you said that most of us would have 2 of the really top-end options as well, including Selwood and Fife. So you predict quite a lot of money being spent up in the top end specifically as well, not just in that 500K mark.
Absolutely. I've got 3 of those top guys at the moment. What's your team looking like?
I've spent quite a bit of money there, but at the moment, it's a bit of mid-price madness. And like I said, it changes a lot at the moment. So I'm not reading too much into it. I'm more just playing with team structures and just mucking around, really, at this point. I'm not taking it all too seriously, just trying a few different things. Can't really...
And you'll just copy my team when it comes to it. Anyway, so...
to be fair, we've been following more and more the cookie cutter recently, I think.
Just get those 102 picks right.
That's exactly right. All right, next question, again, following up from last week, is from BKB or GG Hippo on Twitter, and he's asking us about Dangerfield. So we both locked him into our midfield last week. He's asking whether we have any concerns about his contract, given the history with Ablett, Cloak, and Buddy in their last year playing for their team and all the contract tensions surrounding that. How do you feel about Dangerfield and how he'll be able to handle that?
To be honest, I hadn't actually thought of that point, and he does raise a very good issue because we have seen some players really, really struggle with that extra pressure on them in that last contract year. Cloak's pretty weak mentally, though, so... I think Danger's a bit stronger than that.
That's hilarious. Look,
Danger's pretty hard at it. He just sees the ball. Out of anybody, I wouldn't think that it would affect him. But probably is something worth thinking about since it has had a big effect on people in the past. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a bit of an uncontrollable, isn't it? It's completely in his mind, so it's something that, you know, it's really hard to quantify at all. And because of that, I'm kind of leaning toward just not really thinking about that and locking him in based on his potential and his playability and all that. I'd say that Dangerfield playing in the midfield should be okay. And, you know, Ablett, before he left, he did play like a pretty sick game of football before he retired. And I think he did give it his all for the Geelong Football Club. It was just unfortunate that year he was actually put into the forward line and his scoring dropped off because of that rather than, you know, a mental thing. So Cloak and So Cloak and Buddy, you know, their key position forwards, you'd think that the mental thing could affect them a little bit more, and in the midfield maybe it matters less because you're just in the thick of it all the time.
I know you think that I was joking when I said Cloak was weak mentally, but I mean, he does talk about having to do a lot of work over the preseason on getting his head right when he's kicking for goal, and he does say that he's a confidence player and that him missing goals can really get in his head at the start of the game. So I think that there's a reasonable amount of evidence out there that he is susceptible to that sort of stuff, whereas when the game's on the line, Danger is the one that you look to. He's seems super, super strong when the pressure's on.
Yeah, and I think even with Buddy, he was used differently in his last year because they remember they were talking about...
It was like a decoy.
Yeah, we'll prepare for life without Buddy, prepare for life without Buddy. So, you know, he didn't get as many of those inside 50 marks and goals as well. So with Ablett and Buddy, it's almost like the team moved them out of a high-scoring position into a slightly less prominent one. And with Dangerfield, you'd assume that wouldn't happen because, you know, their next tier of midfield brigades are a lot younger. They do rely on him a lot, so...
Do you think Dangerfield will be at Adelaide in 2016?
Oh, gee, I hope he's at Geelong, but I don't know. It's a bit, yeah, there's not much point talking about almost, I suppose. I don't want to fuel the speculation, but yeah, I hope he's there for the club.
So no inside scoops, mate?
No, nothing, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Yeah, sorry, Adelaide supporters, but, you know, he'd look great in Geelong colours. He'd look great in any colours. He's just an elite player. I've been a huge, huge fan for a long time, but yeah. For Adelaide supporters, hopefully they keep him. Next question is from Rowan, and again, a follow-up question. With regards to the backline being so poor, Mark, in terms of options, got a question here from Rojo Fitness PT, and he's asking about Shannon Hearn, whether or not he's a lock for Supercoach.
I have heard him in my team before. I think that he can get tagged out of games. If Waters was fit and going to be playing all year, that would be good for Shannon Hearn, I think, because it would take a bit of attention away from him. He's become captain this year, which can definitely be a good thing for some players, and it can increase their scoring. What it might do as well, though, is it might increase the attention that Shannon Hearn receives, because as a leader, it's going to be more important to shut him down. So, look, I think he's a solid pick. Given his durability, he's probably not an outstanding pick.
I think I've watched him enough to sort of feel like until the West Coast team really comes on, he's unlikely to break into that really premium category. If West Coast were a top four team, Hearn would probably be up there. But like you said, Mark, too much attention and just that injury risk is not worthwhile. I think even though he's more reliable from an injury standpoint nowadays, you can still pencil him in to miss a few weeks. And he missed four games last year. You know, for Shannon Hearn, that's really not too terrible. Like, he's done some pretty horrible long injuries before, so... Not quite my cup of tea and probably not a lock at this stage, but...
I can understand why people would pick him, though.
Yeah, and, like, I've picked him so many times that it's purely because I feel like I've been burnt too many times. I'm not going back there. But again, he does. He always looks attractive because
I said that thing about Robbie Gray at the start of last year, mate.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It didn't work out so well.
Luckily, Hearn can't burn us quite the same way, I suppose.
No.
All right. Now on to questions from Tono_ASZ, and he's asking about value. What's the minimum output or improvement you're looking for when you're picking a player? 10, 15, 20 points per game above their price point? What sort of things do you look for in terms of value?
Good question. I think it depends on how much you're paying. So if I'm paying $350,000 for a midfielder, I'm probably looking for a 20, 30 point increase. But if I'm paying $650,000, like a five sort of player, I might not be looking for an increase at all, or a 5-10 point maximum increase. So I think it really depends on what position and how much you're paying for them. Generally, what you'd be looking for is that they would improve enough to be a premium that is a keeper. Say you're looking at a $400,000 mid, you'd really want them to be averaging 110 plus.
Good answer to that question, Mark. It does depend on what part of the ground they're on and all that. In general, you know, your rookies, you're looking for massive output. Even though they're priced to average something like 20, you'd be disappointed if they're averaging only 50 because they're not actually scoring points for you. Whereas your ultra premiums, even if they just hold their value, that's not too bad of a thing if they can, you know, pump out 137 in the case of Gary Ablett. In terms of a mid-pricer, I do like to find mid-prices that can actually achieve premium level of scoring. So that's really important to me, not just the number of points that they have in them, but also whether or not I can save a trade by them becoming a full-on premium. Player that can jump from 80 to 100, for example, may be more valuable than somebody that can jump from 30 to 60.
Yeah.
It really does depend. But in terms of a total approach to the game, I do like to find value in any way possible. That includes the top-end premiums. I do try and pick one player like a Gary Ablett that I can lock away as a captain score, and I don't worry about value there. But pretty much every other player, even if it's a premium, I do try and find maybe 5 points of value because I think, you know, if I can find it, it'll add up. So that's my general approach. Next question, Mark, from James Hawkins, asking about key position forward. So I thought this is an interesting one to tackle because it doesn't really matter that we're early on in the season. Are there any key forwards you'd recommend starting this year?
No.
That's
move
it.
On. Next question,
that's
mate.
It.
Yeah, no, seriously. No, next question. There's heaps of midfielders available in the forward line. I see no reason whatsoever to pick even one key forward. The history of picking them in the past has not been great. I mean, Ruffy 2 years ago was excellent, but last year the people that started with Ruffy would have been tearing their hair out. Buddy has a huge ceiling, and I know he hasn't been training 100% over the summer, but could average quite well, but he was really frustrating for his owners for most of the year last year. Nick Riewoldt was probably the one that was just out of the bag really last year, just completely unexpected, and I guess given the fact that he's done it before, and he does seem to tire over the course of the season, I guess he's one that you could potentially start. Yeah, there's others out there that you could start, but I just see way too much value in the people that are get you regular points.
Franklin is an interesting one as a top-end player because we have seen him average 110 type averages in the past. So, you know, he may have 10 points in him. He is a worthy consideration. In terms of Ruffhead and Riewoldt being the next two most expensive, they probably drop off fairly significantly in terms of their attractiveness in the top end. So apart from those guys, which you did talk about, Mark, the cheaper options that stood out to me, I guess, was Josh Kennedy from West Coast and Travis Cloak from Collingwood as well. And the only reason to look at these key position forwards at a mid-price level is that when a key position forward kicks a big bag, if they score 170 points in a game, for example, and we have seen players like Travis Cloak do that, their price skyrockets for the next 3 weeks because that score gets counted in for three price movements. So they can really help be a pretty significant stepladder for you, even though the increase in average doesn't tend to indicate that from year to year. And so somebody like Travis Cloak may be a worthy consideration, for example, at $390,000.
Yeah, I can't disagree with what you're saying there, mate. Franklin is a freak and he does stand out and can actually match it with the midfield players that are playing forward. I guess the issues with Buddy is that he can be very up and down, so you might get him cheaper later, and that he potentially will miss a game at a time here or there because of his knee injury that is an ongoing thing. But yeah, I think you're probably right about Cloak. At $390,000, he looks like the sort of player that could reward people. And I guess it was, I think it was Dimowitz, the guy that won it 2 years ago, started with Cloak cheap and then sold him for like 590,000. Will Lightning strike twice with exactly the same player? I'm not sure, but that worked out very well for him.
I guess the question was, would you recommend starting any key position forwards this year? And the answer to that is probably no. But could you start a key position forward this year? The answer to that for me is, you know, maybe yes. Give it the preseason. Watch how Travis Cloak goes. Watch how Lance Franklin goes. And hopefully they do well enough to entice us into picking them. Moving on to the next section, Mark, and it's the bargain buys, and we're going to take a look at all the players that are cheap because they may be coming back from an injury or maybe miss the whole year entirely. So the first player off the ranks is Brendan Whitecross. How do you reckon he'll go? He's available in the back line, which is a good thing because we're looking for those mid-price defenders, and he's only 198,000. Is he on track to get back, Mark? Do you know?
As far as I'm aware, he's been having a really good preseason and he's been doing a lot of work and will be ready to go by round one, more than likely fitness-wise. I guess the main question is he still in the Hawks' best 22? Because they have had a few players come through over the last couple of years. There's pretty intense competition for spots at Hawks, which is one of the major reasons why they have gone back-to-back in the premiership. So, look, if he's named round one, I think he'll be in everyone's teams at 198,000. The last full season that he played, he averaged 84. That's enough for people to lock him in if he's fit.
Agree with you there, Mark. Although Hawthorne's got a premiership list, they've got an aging list as well, and there will be more opportunities for young guys. And Whitecross coming back from injury, used to be a best 22 player. I think he'll slot straight back in. He's a quality player.
Don't expect him to be a keeper, but given lack of other alternative rookie options, he seems pretty decent.
Hopefully we can engineer a straight swap at some point for a premium. That'd be the best case scenario.
Yeah, if he puts out 130 in round five or something, that'd be nice.
All right, next to the midfield, and Daniel Rich is the guy I want to talk about. Coming back from that ACL, obviously, but is on track to start 2015 in round one, 348,000. Now, typically his problem has been in the past that even when he does play, he gets tagged and he's won the Rising Star quite a while ago now, but has never quite reached the heights we'd hoped because he can't conquer the tag. But now that they got Beams there, do you think Beams will change things with Daniel Rich?
Really interesting question, I guess, that if I was lining a gap against them, that I think you probably would be looking to tag Beams, and he didn't get the tag a lot at Collingwood. He did sometimes, and sometimes it did have a bit of an effect on his ability to influence the game. So, yeah, I think that the number one tag would probably go to Beams first. It depends a little bit what Rich's role is. Is Rich going to be playing through the midfield? Is he going to be playing off half-back, which I think is where he did start off 2014. The biggest issue with Rich is that he averaged 85 in his first season. He hasn't really gone much past that. He did average 90 in 2012, but he's sort of stuck in that 85 to 90 bracket. At 350,000, he presents value if he can go on to average 90, but as we were discussing a little bit earlier, you sort of need him to get average more than that, or at least hit a hot period of form where you can upgrade him easily. I'm not completely writing off Rich, because he's a very, very talented player, was a potential number one in his draft year. He's a really, really tricky price as a midfielder, and I'd probably prefer to go guns and rookies in my midfield. There's not a whole lot of examples of the past where going for a mid-pricer in the midfield has paid off.
I'm open to picking, you know, maybe one mid-price midfielder, so I don't mind looking for one. Like I said, I like the value if I can find it.
What average would you be looking at from him?
I'd want him to hit 100, but I think he's more than capable of that, especially if Beams is in the team, so it's not completely out of reach that he'd achieve that. But then again, you know, he is coming back from an ACL, and you don't come back 100% straight away. I want to see a good preseason out of him, obviously, but we'll wait and see on him. The next one, though,
he could actually be a make or break player. Like, if he did average 105 and had a breakout season, the people that have picked him are going to be very well rewarded. He just hasn't shown any indication that that's likely to happen.
That's fair. Another guy who has, though, Mark, and is priced cheaply as well because only played 7 games last year, D. Wells for North Melbourne, playing for a team who's touted for the top four this year, 361,000. Mm. Now, that surely is a tasty proposition. They've got the inside guys to retrieve the ball for him, and Daniel Wells just provides the silk. Now, we haven't quite seen as many games with Wells and Dal Santo playing together. That could be a little bit of a factor because when Wells was scoring really well, Dal Santo wasn't yet at the North Melbourne Football Club. How do you see Wells going this year? Is he a worthwhile option?
I've gone from just saying that I would never pick a mid-price midfielder to talking about Daniel Wells and saying, yes, maybe I would consider him. I think that he's probably the exception in the fact that rather than like a Daniel Rich where you're hoping that somehow he's going to get 20 points improvement as well as coming back from an injury, Wells, he has a premium scoring history in the past, especially in short periods where he can go on a burst of 7 to 10 weeks where he's really fit and just tear games apart. Highest average ever, 104. If he did that from 360,000, I think that's a really good pick. A few of his other averages in the 90s, though. Honestly, I am very much open to picking Daniel Wells. I think the tag, like Rich, is probably the biggest concern because North do have a bunch of other midfielders now. You've got Zeeble and Cunnington, Del Santo, like you mentioned, Swallow running through there, Harvey. You've got a bunch of really good mids, but Wells is the number one tagged player because he's outside and he's so dangerous. He can just absolutely dominate games and win them for North. So that worries me a bit.
104, 99 and 96 were the averages in the 3 years preceding his injury affected year last year. And like you said, Mark, when he goes on runs, the guy can score 150 in a game, which is nothing to sneeze at, because some midfielders' problem is precisely that they can't score those 150 games to take them into the next bracket. Wells can't, so he doesn't even have to stay in your team. You might not even want to keep a midfielder that only averages 105 for the entire season. I mean, it's not terrible for his price, but you know, you can easily trade him up if he has a big 150 game, can back it up with two 90s. That's enough to take him to a pretty darn juicy price point, and from there you've made something like potentially 40 points of value in one player. So he could be certainly a very exciting option, and I wouldn't mind picking Daniel Wells just to watch that outside flair a little bit, especially in the North Melbourne team that might do well this year. He'll get plenty of opportunity, you'd think.
Yeah, and I know people that have picked him at 500,000 before, they regretted it because he's a bit up and down at times and often gets injured, but I think he's a rare exception, true mid-pricer in the midfield that I would actually consider because he has the premium potential, and like you said, you could trade him up to someone fairly quickly. So,
well, the next guy, surely you're considering picking as well, and that's Nathan Van Berlo from Adelaide. I guess you could consider him sort of almost a rookie at his price point, 215,000.
In the past, he's averaged sort of 70 to 80 as a tagger. There's discussion that with Rory Laird and a few others at the Adelaide Crows that he might not actually come back as a tagger and he might be given some free run. And I think that at 215,000, a mature ager with serious fitness that has played a lot of 22-game seasons in the past is probably someone that I'm looking to lock in at this early stage. He's definitely been in all my draft teams so far.
Agree, Mark. Lockety lock. Next to the Rocks, two cheap guys to look at. Leuenberg is the first guy. I think we've mentioned him briefly before. Do you think he's worth his price at 358,000?
Yes. I think that's a very good price for Louis. There's a lot of doubts over what role he's going to play with Stephen Martin in the team. You'd think that of all teams out there, the Lions could definitely afford to play both rucks because they don't have a whole lot of other options up forward. So he'll probably spend a bit of time up forward, probably a lot of time on the ground. It'll be interesting to see what partnership they're going to have. It's very, very unknown. But, I mean, he's a potentially elite talent, Leuenberger. He's averaged 102 in a season before. Yeah, I think that there's a good chance he'll be in my starting team. He certainly hasn't been in all my drafts. But, yeah, he's a pretty decent chance of starting for my team. What about you?
I think the only danger I want to flag with these guys is that points are dropping. So if he was averaging 102 in a year where points were granted to hitouts that weren't effective, that he won't get in 2015, Leuenberger's true top end might look a little bit closer to the 90s, in which case he doesn't actually present like a massive amount of value. It's still good, but he is an injury risk as well. So that's another thing to consider.
So he's played 28 games in 3 seasons.
Yeah. So I think Leuenberg, I'm a little bit on the fence on. I think I'd prefer to take Bell Chambers in because he's cheaper and he has the forward flexibility as well. But if I were to pick two mid-price ruckmen, and I'm looking at that at this point, then Leuenberg is certainly in calculations. I don't want to rush into that because I think that Leuenberger will suffer a fair bit because he's not amazing around the ground. Every time he gets the ball, he literally just handballs it off. Like, he's basically useless for scoring points around the grounds.
Which really takes us to the next player you've got on this mid price list, and that is Matty Cruiser. Matty Cruiser might not be as great in the ruck as Leuenberger, but around the grounds, he definitely willing to get his hands dirty, get down there, get the marks, get the contested possessions, kicks around the ground. I think that we've both been big Cruiser fans in the past.
There's not a whole lot of
Cruiser fans out there, but we've certainly been on the Cruiser train before. Are you looking at him ahead of Leuenberger, or what's your thoughts there?
I guess there are a lot of people also talking down his scoring ability because he's unlikely to be that sole ruck in that team, and he isn't the best forward, and I mean he isn't, like, he's too tall to be a midfielder even though he's good around the grounds, so he's sort of stuck in a little bit of a limbo, and that's been a little bit of the Cruiser curse while he's been at Carlton. And, you know, when we've loved Cruiser is when he's had the sole run at it. So he also has an asterisk next to him. I'm certainly looking at Leuenberger and Cruiser closely, and I'd be happy to have either on my side. And at the moment, I am looking to just go full-on mid-price there, so...
So we might get into that on the Ruck Show, which will be in a few weeks.
Next guy is Clark Mark, and I think we talked about him briefly already, so we won't spend too much time on him. We've both locked him into our teams for the draft purposes in preseason anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if he's named round one, then he will start in every team, or should.
So the only other guy to talk about is Dale Thomas, and speculators actually asked a question about him from Twitter, Teddy_McKay. Dale Thomas averaged 109 a couple years ago when fully fit. So how about Dale Thomas, Mark? What do you reckon?
How about this year we go with a different strategy, mate? This year we won't tell anyone that he's any good, but we'll both pick him. The last two times that we've recommended people to pick him, he has just turned to absolute shit, and it's been awful. So pretty hard to recommend him based purely on that.
Yeah. I mean, last year, like, one of my good trades for the year was getting...
Dale to Matt.
Yeah, like, just getting rid of Dale Thomas and picking up Matt Thomas. So I'm not going to recommend him anytime soon. I want to see a positive trend line. If he rips the preseason apart, you know, then maybe we'll talk.
Didn't he perform a few good games in the preseason last year, and that's what sort of got people excited?
But I don't think he scored huge points. We just got excited by small things, whereas now, like, he'd need to dominate a preseason for me to go, wow. $406,000 is an expensive risk to take. At this point, like, you know, Travis Cloak, who we just talked about, looks more attractive than him because...
No, he certainly does not. You can't say stupid things like that. People think he's serious.
I've been burnt too many times, Mark. I've got, like, oven mitts on and I'm holding a stick. And that's how far away I am.
So I kind of feel like because we've been burnt, like, really, really badly a couple of times by him, that it is difficult to recommend him. But maybe someone that hasn't been burnt by him might find it a bit easier to pick him, and at $400,000, surely he does represent some value there.
Yeah, you know what they say, Mark? Third time's a charm.
Yeah.
All right, with that wraps up this week's podcast. So it's been a good show, Mark.
Have you actually had draft teams with Travis Cloak in it?
Yeah, of course I have. You know I like picking mid prices, and you know I like big scores.
All you've said all episodes, is we've got mid prices all through our defense. We've got mid prices in our box. We want a couple in our forward line, and I'll think about a couple in the midfield. So, yes, we do know that we like a few mid prices, mate.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll tame things down once we get to positional things. And
once we get to the positional things, it'll come, and we can get some rookies out and actually see what they can do. We'll become a bit more guns and rookies.
Yeah, things will come crashing down pretty quickly. I think when we get to the positional shows, we tend to look pretty strictly at premiums. We only ever talk about standout mid prices. So this is the time to get it all out, Mark. I'm just getting it all out. All right.
Well, it's not serious. Like, while your team isn't actually locked in, we can just talk about some mid prices.
Yeah. All right. So just to finish, it will be either starting next week or the week after, but we'll be going through positionally and then looking at rookies and then having a recap week. That's how we'll round out the rest of our preseason schedule.
And right through the whole time, we'll take questions on social media. So if you do have some questions, look out for the tweet from Supercoach Coach and send us some questions that you want us to answer.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be dropping the podcast on a Thursday at 5 p.m. for the remainder of the preseason. But remember, during the season, we'll get it out an extra day early to help you for lockout. So it'll drop on a Wednesday for the normal season. And just to finish, remember, if you want to join our Supercoach Coach group, the invitation is on our podcast page on supercoachcoach.com.au. Similarly, you can apply apply to join our Supercoach Coach veterans. We came second last year, or join leagues. We've got open leagues, and from this week on, we're opening up the ranked league. So chuck in your rank from the last couple of years, and we'll sort you all out into competitive leagues. So that wraps up this week's show, Mark. Thanks for a great show.
Yeah, good talking to you, mate. You've got me thinking about a few things, so I'm looking forward to next week's show.
Travi!
Definitely not thinking about that.
All right, see you guys. Catch you next week.
See ya.